So that's an important thing. So that meant that that's where he began us. And the way I describe that, it is a realm, but I'm describing that he placed us in this sandbox to start practicing operating in his glory. And so I don't have to stay in that sandbox, but God says, why that sandbox? Because it's important. He gave us the same glory. He gave us the same faith. He gave us the same peace. He gave us the same love. He gave us the same hope. So all these things that are him, and they're all eternal, and they're extremely powerful, then how come I'm not seeing the same results? And this is part of this. I'm assigned specifically to a realm that he assigned me. So I don't have all of these other things I have to be concerned about. So the way that God designed what the realm was, he starts it out like this. Your glory is above all the heavens and the earth. So the definition always starts from the understanding of his glory. But then he separates that and he says that the heavens are his and the earth is man's. He says that in the Psalms. And then he assigns that the earth was assigned to the church. He says, as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. That's assigned to the church. So when I have revelation, what's here on heaven, I have direct access to bring it into this earth realm. So I've been asking this question. I put it out there because it's really important. The enemy is able to trip up all kinds of believers, probably 99% of them, if we were to actually do some kind of survey, is that the enemy, any time of the week, could ask any Christian, and we would stumble over something that is all the time true in Scripture, but we don't really have the answer scripturally how to answer the enemy. Well, if God's such a God of love, how come all these bad things are happening? And so then we kind of dance with that, and we don't really answer the specifics on that. Here's the power side of this that I believe when we separate. And we start understanding how to do that consistently, then we can separate and place this is common and this is holy. So that's a common thing that the enemy trips up all believers. Well, here's the language. God already said, he says that the heavens are his, the earth is man's. He takes care of his bedroom, and we take care of our bedroom. So we could ask just like children, well, Father, how come you don't clean up my bedroom? And he says, well, that's your bedroom. You clean it up. So the things that are messed up in my bedroom is the responsibility directly for the church. So now, if it's the church's discipline to take care of the things that are messed up in this realm, then God could say to the church, what did you do with this treasure? And we would say, answering just exactly like in the parable, I got it buried right here, Lord. And then God politely, like I said, well, you wicked and lazy servant. So what he's saying is that there's a time that I need to be disciplined enough to know how to utilize this wisdom and revelation and knowledge of his glory skillfully to change the whole realm. Here's another parable. It's in Matthew 6. And where he's talking about you're the light of the world. And he expounds on that. And he says this. In fact, I'll just read it because there's a lot that's in there that the individual words you don't even want to miss. In Matthew 6, no, is it 6? No, I think it's 5. Hang on. Matthew, I'll pull it right up here. Matthew 5. Okay. It says right here. Okay, it says, you're the light of the world. It's verse 14, starting there. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So just want to go through these real quick. So he's talking, and it's all, a lot of times considered like, well, this is the church. It's the city that's lit on a hill. But individually, I'm a church. And so individually, I need to measure that way, because the scripture says, 2 Thessalonians 2:14, that the purpose of the gospel is for obtaining the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason why that's important, because I got to compare, what glory did I receive? If I received the glory of Jonah, Jonah went into that glory realm, came out of the whale, God used him, and the glory that's on his life was enough to transform the whole city, like he was lit up for the whole city. So, and if an individual can transform a whole city, and we have greater covenant, better promises, better covenant, greater glory, then our measurement isn't the glory of Jonah, it's actually the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he's now out of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying wisdom, he says that. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So if you're in the activated state of his glory, his hope of glory in you, when it's on you, it's Lord of glory. It comes in, Lamb of God. When it comes out, Lion of Judah. So, there's just major distinction all the way through this. So, and it's, I'm receiving, but Jesus said it's more blessed to give or release than to receive. So it's a steady stream because I'm receiving, but it's a steady flow out because I'm releasing. So there's got to be a discipline when it's being released. And the discipline, he describes that, it's going back to Jeremiah 15:19, when I can separate between the precious and the vile, he makes my mouth his mouth. So when I'm training my senses, I'm training the way that my ears hear. I'm hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm training the way that my eyes see. So I start discerning and seeing things on a grander scale, just instead of little bits and pieces and fragments. And I'm also training the way that I taste the word in my mouth. So I'm training my senses on my mouth. So when he's talking, the kind of ways that I'm training my senses, it's like, here's a scripture. It's in Psalms 34, verse 8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So I need to taste his word. And then it says that in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And I believe that that shows the five fingers of this new covenant. It says, enlighten, we're partakers of the heavenly gift. We're partakers of the Holy Spirit. We're tasting the good word, and we're tasting of the powers of the age to come. So he's trying to discipline and train the skill level within us so that we can taste the good word. So it's like, you know that when you spoke anything in prayer or anything, whatever you did, you knew by the Spirit that it released power because you tasted it. And when you know that again and again, it's a default in your spirit. You knew as soon as you spoke, it was done. You didn't have to see it with your eyes because you already knew. So that's a taste, that it's a reality in how you taste it. So when he's saying, go back here to Matthew, he says, a city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. So that can't be hidden. So then he says this, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives off, okay, it gives light. So God ignites you with revelation, and it's inside you, it's radiating, and it rises up. And when it rises up, it'll come out in things that you do, things that you say, and you'll lay hands on someone, and they'll be healed because you had faith that came with that. Is just empowered you with a lot of things all at once. Well, that scripture where it says, of his fullness we've all received, John 1:16, it also says in that same verse, grace for grace. So he graced you to be empowered with faith to believe and exercise what you knew to be true. So that revelation became a walking out of the boat like Peter. You're walking on water. You're experiencing the supernatural. God's trying to train that supernatural where it's consistent, because Jesus never sinking, because he was walking in the glory the whole time. So God's trying to get us to that place where it is a natural to walk in the glory at all times. So when he says, to give you the reality of this is the reality that's in his glory. He says when that light is shining on, it says it lights up the whole house. That's what it says right here in Matthew 5. Says, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So he's talking about that house then. That's a language that's talking about that realm. And so, but there's boundaries in a house. There's rooms. Yet the light that's coming out of us is going past all the boundaries and lighting up the whole house. So that's how much more powerful his glory is. And then that last verse that's in Matthew, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So glory gets operating even in the people that don't believe. And that's what they said about Jesus. Where did this man get this wisdom? Where did this man get these mighty works? It was unbelievers that was saying that. He says, if they said it about me, they're going to say it about you. So unbelievers, wow, where'd you get this wisdom? Where'd you get this mighty works?